to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show them a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tim Al. This is Mr. Brendan Cornan, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 20, Dow up 91, and we've got the NASDAQ up 66. The big news today is IBM buying Red Hat to get into the cloud. This is what happens when you have too much of other people's money, I guess. One man's opinion. It's up $60, Frank? Or how much is Red Hat up? 34? It's incredible. It's a... And I don't get it. Do you? How much they have to pay up that much for that stock? Are you, Frankie, with us?
Yeah, I am with you. I just heard you. You've faded out.
All right. I'm saying, why did IBM have to pay this much for the stock?
I have no idea. That's what happens when you have to buy rather than innovate.
I guess, but what's it? What's it like a 30% premium? I don't. You know, I don't. When people do that, you kind of
exactly.
Wonder. The reason why, still somewhere buried, Brendan, in my bones, in my circulation, is that the market is a pricer, a fair pricer of goods, meaning stocks. And if you're a University of Chicago guy, like I am, was, whatever, all the guys I learned from are probably dead. I would say, the thought was if the president was in the can and he had a little trouble, by the time he came out, the stock was down, right? The market was that good at pricing stuff, and you had a bazillion people working for a bazillion firms, all trying to value every stock, and they all valued them against all the others. And one thing you could count on was the market was about as all knowing as you could ever find. Now here, a company decides, no, they're not. We'll pay up, 40% for a place, and you do have to wonder. If the tax laws were different and it wasn't double taxation on dividends, why I wouldn't want IBM to send me a dividend and I could buy it a lot cheaper than they just bought it for. Do I really need this smiling lady? what's her name? Who runs the place? I'm not saying, but she's grinning like a Cheshire cat here, and she by spending that much dough from somebody else. I don't get it. I mean, let's put it this way. If it's worth what they paid for it, for them, one of two things has to be correct. One is the market is not an efficient pricer of something, or the competitive advantage that IBM is going to get as a oligopolist or a cartel person, which I don't really think IBM is so dramatic. But there's no question that if there's two hamburger stands in town, the other hamburger stand could pay more than anybody else for the place and have it be worthwhile. Is that a fair statement?
That's fair.
But I can't imagine that being like this for IBM. But having said that, maybe I'm just miffed. I don't own any Red Hat, Frank. What do you think?
Well, we're all miffed we don't own any Red Hat. I think part of the reason for the big premium is that we're afraid somebody else might step up and buy them. They're the largest distributor of open source software in the world. You know, Linux, a number of other systems. And you and I can get the software they distribute for free.
Right, I seem to remember that. And they've been around a long time. As a matter of fact, I've been along them on two or three occasions. I don't know if I've ever made money being along them. They were everybody's favorite for a long time and didn't go anywhere. And all of a sudden, the last few years they have. But this is a big deal.
My last gig in the technology business, I was a general manager for Arrow Electronics. And we had a business arrangement or distribution arrangement with Red Hat, and this was 1990. So they've been around a long time.
We were back, where were we? We're doing this down, and then we're coming back the next day halfway. We're down Friday in the S&P. We were down 46, now we're up 20. We were down 296 in the Dow, and now we're up 100. So What are we doing here? Of course, everybody was asking me that all weekend, every place I went. I'm like, wow. I mean, I think we're in somewhat of a revaluation. My feeling is that unless the interest rates start to go up even further from here, I'm guessing we're probably pretty close, maybe a few percent of where we probably will be for a while. Especially since this 10-year yield has come back a little bit. It's only 3.09. I don't know. Do you think that of course, to me, makes some sense, but it bears probably no resemblance of what the market's actually going to do.
Well, you said a few percent of where we are now. When? Tomorrow?
Well, probably
not. Or for the next month. I mean, we were at 2,800 a week ago Friday.
Yeah, well, I'm saying if the...
2,825 on Thursday.
A week ago Thursday.
Well, that's, you know, 4% right there we had a move in a week. I don't know. It seems like we're having higher highs, or I mean lower highs and lower lows.
Well, we definitely are.
Over the past week.
I get this feeling, again, well, there's more to the story. If the Fed does their increase in December, then decides to pause next year a little bit, I think the 10-year yield zeroes in here in this 3.25, 3.30 range. And I'm thinking if we're down another couple of percent, that's probably good enough for there. If it actually runs up to 4, I don't think it's good enough. Right? I think we're going lower. So, but I'm couching my opinion here on interest rates. But you never know. We overshot to the upside, I think, and I think we're going to overshoot to the downside. You know, we always do, right?
Yeah. You know, if one hits good, two hits have to be better.
And what, you know? What, so are we talking zero chance, both of you guys, in regards to a deal with the Chinese by the election? Election's what? 2 weeks from tomorrow or 1 week?
No, 1 week tomorrow.
1 week from tomorrow. And, could it possibly be any uglier? With the, what did Trump's kid call the, he was stumping for one guy, so the guy running against him was a piece of garbage? Do you really want your president's son running around doing stuff like that?
Yes, they do.
Why do you want your president doing that?
The answer to that is no.
Then you'd be wrong.
And he claims he's not, that he's taking the high road.
Yeah.
But,
and he's toning it down.
Yeah. And he's toning it down.
Yeah, but every time you say Soros and, big money, you might as well just say Jew.
Mm-hmm.
We know what he means.
Sure he does. Sure we do. And, you know, the, I don't, 2 hours after the, pipe bomb started to land, they came out with some thing about how you should, we really need to send a message to the liberal press. Like, okay.
A week ago Friday, he was congratulating Gianforte in, Montana for body slamming.
Yeah,
the reporter. That's my kind of guy.
Yep. Anybody who body slams a reporter is a good friend of mine. Good guy.
I don't. This I've had. As you probably can imagine, I was beset by. I don't know why. I seem to be hanging around a whole bunch of conservatives, which is fine. But I somewhere along the line here, and I'm not about to enter the debate about whether he's worse at this than Maxine Waters. I'm not a fan of Maxine Waters either. But I think at some point, the only person that can stop it is the person at the top of the chain. It's the president saying, I'm not doing it. And he should have walked into that thing in Southern Illinois, and as soon as they started yelling, CNN sucked, he should have said, we're not having any of that, any of these things anymore. I won't put up with it. I'm leaving. And it's up to him to stop it, because he is the president. He wants to be president when it suits him, and he doesn't want to be president, and he wants to be the loser on the playground when that suits him too. You can't do both. It's up to him to stop. Now, can you ever stop hatred in a country? No. All fixes start from the top. The gross example is you can't be telling your kid how you really need to use the bathroom and then get to school and we'll see the principal peeing off the front porch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't do that. I mean, there's reasons why. I mean, I don't know. When I got elected to the CBOE board, I just said, look, here's a list of stuff I don't really do anyway, but I'm surely not going to do when I'm on the board. Because people elected me, and there's a certain way you have to, you know, comport yourself. You can't say things you used to say, even in jest. I mean, and that's for a board and some crummy little exchange, let alone president of the United States. I mean, I mean, granted, you're always going to have people that love the, what they used to call them in Shakespeare, they were the groundlings. The guys who's hanging up in the dirt in the front that didn't have a seat. I mean, you had to do stuff, you know, to appease them in the play, but...
Oh, the rabble, the peanut gallery or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the...
They were a groundling was a person who visited the Globe Theater in the early 17th century. They were too poor to pay to be able to sit on one of the three levels of the theater. If they paid one penny, they could stand in the pit, also called the yard, just below the stage to watch the play.
Right.
But they were the groundlings.
Yep. See.
Very good, Chief.
Very good, Tom.
Not bad for an old dude. And I also dug
now they're called lawn seats.
Yeah, now they're lawn seats. I also dug up the, was it Henry II who will rid me of this troublesome priest? Oh, man, I didn't mean the guys were going to should go kill him, right? So what does this all mean? How do we make... We can't stop the vitriol, Frank. How do we make money off it? I mean, I'm still... My gold has done better in silver, so I'm actually had a good month in there, but I keep getting the feeling it should do more, and it won't. Oil has come back. I can't understand this oil thing at all, unless we think this guy is going to kiss the mistletoe in Saudi Arabia and start pumping oil. Plus, how much can they pump? They're already at 9.5 million barrels a day. I mean, they're not going to go to... They can't go to 12 tomorrow. They probably could go to 10. Are we really going to put the screws to Iran on November 4th? It sure seems like a lot of people have an opinion on this with this oil price coming down, what, 12% in 2 weeks. Yet I don't see the logic there. Do you? I mean, maybe I'm not getting the right...
Unless they think that the near-term indicators for industrial use of oil and consumer use of oil are going to go down.
By that you mean recession?
Recession or a significant pullback. I sent you something last week about RV shipments.
Yeah.
They're down almost 30% year to year in September. They've been down 7 of 9 months this year.
Wasn't last September sort of a record year, though, a record month? Kevin said that was a kind of a... They had a huge year last year, that if you compare it to 2 years ago, it's not as bad.
They had to catch up with demand.
Right.
And then, so I think part of what happens, I grew up working in the... You could always get a trailer job if you grew up in South Bend in northern Indiana. I worked many times in Elkhart. And, you can get in the business easily, so that leads to overproduction. But as soon as it's interest rate sensitive and it's gas price sensitive. And I think we may be seeing some of that right now. And we're also seeing a lot of retirees. Last year they were saying, hey, we're going to boom because of the number of people that are going into retirement. That's the RVIAA said 2018 would be great. And I think retirees may be a bit concerned due to inflation, interest rates, and uncertainty.
Aren't some people, if you're in a type A one, you don't really need a house, right?
Well, that's right, and I think Frank's point is right on as far as looking at the RV area. I mean, I think a lot of folks are thinking about downsizing and just having an RV because of property taxes and the ability to move from state to state.
What's the place in somewhere in Arizona or California? It's actually called a yacht club, but there's no water near there, I don't think. And
because of the land yachts.
Yeah, and the guys, my friends in from. Ogden Dunes, drive theirs down there, and the place goes from, 500 people in the summertime to how many people in the wintertime, and they actually have a junior college where some of the people take various courses at, and I guess it's a great old time in the wintertime.
There is a place in Southern California like that. There are a couple of places in the East Valley in the Phoenix area that are like that, too. They just balloon up about this time of year, roughly November through May. They're just ballooned with RV campsites of all sizes.
Well, this is a legitimate yacht club. So you can take your credentials, and if you pull your sailboat into whatever the yacht club is over here, they'll let you in.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's no water there. You gotta love it. But I only tape type A's, or the big honkers. You can't pull up in a
funky little pop-up camper.
No, you can't.
Classic.
And but I like the fact when the world has sort of changed when we... I hate to even bring up the... Frank, you didn't do something stupid like go to the 1971 Nebraska-Irish game in Florida, did you?
Yeah, I did. It was 1972, I believe.
Well, it was New Year's Day.
You mean when they had a fake punt in the fourth quarter while they were up 30 points on us?
All I remember is sitting in the end zone and watching Johnny Rogers run. All I could see is his number going and running away from me and running towards me. He's what he scored.
I had field seats. Wow. My parents came down with the rest of the kids, but I knew guys at Notre Dame, and I had field seats or a field pass, and our players were coming off with tears in their eyes in the first quarter.
Yeah, they were. The rest
was
pretty good.
It was not fun.
No. Well, the amount of Nebraskans, whatever they call themselves, that drove,
Huskers.
Well, they drove down. They used to travel really well. Some of those Winnebagos, how they made it down there. Remember the original ones with the big round lights? They looked just like a square. They were just like a cube.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the parking lot was.
I used to make our motorhomes like that. My family had a 28-foot Winnebago in 1966.
How could you even drive those things?
So I know motorhomes cold.
How did those things even drive? They were the most aerodynamic things I've ever seen. But anyway, these people... Now this
gas
year,
was really cheap back then.
But I mean,
it didn't matter.
Yeah, 30 cents a gallon.
I wouldn't will somebody a trip with one of those things from Lincoln to Miami to my worst enemy. But anyway... But say you did. How are those guys going to go from Miami this year, the next week they got to be in San Francisco? You think anybody cares about the fans anymore for these colleges? So if you're in a Big Ten, you have to go to Indy 1 week, then, right, Manny? And then if you make the playoffs, you have to go to either Dallas or Miami, and then the next week you got to be in San Francisco? Who do you think all these people are? With Eddie Warbucks? Or don't care?
It doesn't matter.
I guess it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter who they are because they're going to sell out the stadium. And they'll make their money.
I don't know.
I'm going to sell out the stadium. There's some that will if you have a national alumni. Like Notre Dame is doing. Did San Diego this week, and then it's Northwestern. Then it's a home game with Florida State. And then they're doing Yankee Stadium and then the Coliseum.
Yeah.
I mean, how much farther apart can you get on consecutive mm-hmm. weeks?
Well, Licks are not taking the train anymore, but they used to. How many years ago was that? But the you do wonder. I mean, you really don't. There's no way an alumnus is going to do that. How could you?
Oh, come on! There at all of these big schools, there are people who will pay. There will be alumni who travel.
Oh, there's
to
some
those
okay,
games.
And you're going to find a lot of. But
and you're going to find with a school like Notre Dame, you're going to find people in all parts of the country who live there.
But the let's pick a couple that do travel. Michigan travels,
mm-hmm. Iowa travels.
But you're looking, I'm going to say, there's no way the Iowa fans do all three of those games. You can't. I mean, Florida State, absolutely, they couldn't sell. What did they sell, like half of their tickets years ago for a Sugar Bowl, Manny? It was Florida State. It wasn't it wasn't one of the playoff bowls. These other bowls, you can't sell them now. Brennan,
I agree with that. When you get to the minor bowls, you'll often see the stands that are half filled.
I'm not so sure
it's even happening at places like the Orange Bowl. I remember about 10 years ago, Notre Dame went to the Orange Bowl, and there's a big stink because there were other more deserving people. And the president of the Orange Bowl said, "Hey, we're in this for our hospitality business. When Nebraska comes." The Red Roof Inn is full, and there's lines at Denny's. When Notre Dame comes, every resort from Palm Beach down to Key West is full, and there's lines at Joe's.
Well, I'd be is the Denny's better than the Waffle House
for the economy? Yes.
Yes.
Unbelievable. The every time. The story, I was driving back from Florida when I bought my one pickup down there, and I pull into this town, and I'm hungry. There's a Waffle House, and there's this breakfast thing across the street. So I pull into the breakfast thing. There's like two cars in the lot. And I walk in, and the guy goes, "Well, that's $10 cover." I go, "For breakfast?" Yeah, he goes, "Well, the waitresses don't have any clothes on." And I said, "You know, I don't need this. It's 5 in the morning." I went across the street to the Waffle House, my one and only time. That was an experience. I sat at the bar. I left a nice tip. And I think they loved me. There was a table of like 12 people. They all got individual checks, and they all had a coupon. And the waitress is going through this, and now one of them left a tip. And I'm thinking, this poor girl. So I left her a nice tip. And I mean, just try to make up for a little of the other people. And I'm thinking, God, how do you do that all day long? I mean, what is the deal? But the waffles are good. What was the movie that the Tin Cup? Was it they were always in the Waffle House? With
Kevin Costner as a golfer?
Yeah, weren't they always, the whole gang was always in the Waffle House?
I don't remember that.
I think so, yeah.
I don't. And I never saw the movie.
Well, when he went to the U.S. Open, he said, well, if anybody comes to see me, I know where they'll be. And he found the Waffle House in town, and there everybody was. All right, so Frank, specifically, we're up today. Is this a fade, not a fade? I want to make some dough this week. I did all right last week, but could have done an awful lot better, boy. There was stuff that I was looking to buy at a dollar, when in 5 minutes it was $2, and then back to a dollar. It seems to me that if you put something in, especially if you're doing short-term stuff, which I don't really like to do so much of, but you have to have your sell price in when you do it. I mean, did you have
your... Oh, I do that, definitely. You know, I can't second-guess myself. And, gosh, I have a couple stops. I have a dollar stop, and then I also put in a time stop saying I'm going to put this on for 3 hours, and if nothing happens, I'm gone.
What do you make of this big rally in the German market today with Merkel stepping down? I think she's a pretty solid leader. I'm not so sure I want to see her go, but it's not my call. I mean, who's coming in after these people? Some, you know, bunch of right wingers or left wingers or who? It says here she reportedly stepped down as party leader. Does that mean she's still going to keep her job as the president or something? I'm not so sure how their deal works. She steps down as party leader. Does that mean that she loses her job?
I have no idea.
I don't know about that either.
But it's good for all markets.
Yeah,
it looks like
everybody seems to like. Well, nothing. Well, I won't say nothing horrible happened over the weekend after this thing happened in Pittsburgh. I mean, that's pretty awful. It's not a gun problem. It's a fact we don't have the death penalty. And if somebody was there with a gun, it wouldn't have happened. Yet actually, Mr. President Bonespur, there were four people there who were policemen that did have guns, and they got jumped so fast it didn't do any good.
And they were all shot.
So could we possibly have had a more insane response from a man in power? Is it even possible? Or is that, I mean, I'm out on a limb too much. I'm sure there's some conservative people who will be calling up saying Maxine Waters would have done whether. This isn't about Maxine Waters. She's not president. Nobody pays attention to her.
He was attacked by her last night in a rally.
He what? I don't like her.
He attacked Maxine Waters, yes.
So she's to blame for this in Pittsburgh?
Well, who knows? She's responsible for something, and the press. The press is responsible for the negative vibes going around right now because of the false news they're spreading.
And people actually believe that. It's scary. It is really scary. I don't know. I don't know if we can come back from this. I mean, I hope we do, because he's not going to change. I mean, I keep thinking that one of these days...
What demographics is going to take care of... Remember, I told you a year ago, and this is... wasn't on the air, but this is the white man's last hurrah.
Well, I hope it is.
And the people are reacting that way.
Well, see,
but demographically,
I'm not sure.
It is.
I agree with you in concept, but whether this is it or 2020 or 2024 remains to be seen, because there's still, because of the Electoral College, there are still a number of states that can push the conservative white man's agenda over the top.
Just well, like right, and if you disenfranchise enough voters,
that's the other part.
You can delay it also.
That's right. I agree with you that long term, whether it's 2 years or 10 years or 15 years, that's inevitable. The difficulty is looking even long term is the judicial system right now and the number of conservative judges who are young and will presumably be in their judicial positions for life for another 30 or 40 years. That could stave it off a lot more.
I read on Saturday some, I think it was in the Tribune, it was all about the bitching about the Electoral College is all just sour grapes on the part of the Democrats. Now, on one level, you know the system when you go into it, so yeah, if you lose by it, I guess there's a certain amount of sour grapes. But also, humans being humans, if there's something wrong with the system, the people who win are empowered and can do something about it. are never going to be the ones that do it because they're going to say it's fine. But the logic of this, when they start dropping back into this, well, clearly we never were a democracy. We're a gang of states, and this is what back in 1680 or 1780 or wherever the hell it was. This is what they had in these guys' minds. What do we care about them for? They're all dead. If you had to put the thing together now, would you really do it this way?
You would have to. If you wanted to try to get a system of government of all 50 states, remember the purpose of this is to give the small states a voice equal to the big states. And that's what happened in the Constitutional Convention back in 1781 when they were making these compromises, that the small states like Rhode Island wanted to be on an equal footing with New York because they didn't want to be subsumed by the majority rule, because they knew if it was on a popular vote that maybe not this election, but the next election, they would just get swamped.
Okay.
So the trade-off was, we will give you the House of Representatives for this, but in the Senate, it's equal representation. One state has the same right as every other state.
Okay. We have to do this. SP Futures up 25 now. Dow Futures up 142. NASDAQ Futures up 83. Be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as they do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here,
right now, right here, right now, right now. Hello, and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom, Mr. Brennan Cornan, Mr. Frank Fahey. S&P futures up 27 now. Dow futures up 159. NASDAQ futures up 89. This is as high as I've seen it. So we're making a big run and a comeback from Friday. But we've done that a couple times, and only the next day we go right back down again. But I'm not predicting. I'm just saying we've been doing that. But boy, the movements are big. Oil down 31 cents, 67.28. 10-year yield 3.10. That's come off to 3.25. So that might be one of the reasons why we're sneaking back up again here today. DAX down. Up 217 as Angela Merkel appears to be ready to step down as a party leader. We're going to check and see what that does to her governmental status. So that's almost 2% in the DAX. FTSE up 115, 1.7%. CAC around only up 13. So the DAX seems to be celebrating. We'd hate to see something like Brendan retires, market up 4%. I mean, we don't want to see that type of thing.
Are you asking me to retire?
No, I'm just saying, Frank steps down as IBM chair, stock doubles. I mean, it's not something the headline you want to see. Over in Asia, the Nikkei down 34.1. They're not having any truck with any of this. Shanghai down 56, another 2%. 25.42. Wow, back under 25.50. I thought they held that number, it would stay there. I was wrong. So China is in a world of hurt. Hang Seng up 94.4%. Still, we've got oil, West Texas, down 31 cents. Brent down 30. The spread is now almost $10.04. Natural gas, 3.11, so that's down from the middle 3.2s. RBOB, 181. I think I got gas 283 yesterday for the Suburban. And gold is down $3. Silver down a penny. Betty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Significant issues already this morning on a Monday, Chief. We already know about the Dan Ryan. We had an overnight shooting a couple of hours ago that has the Dan Ryan closed for investigation. The inbound Ryan.
Matty, it's not a gun problem. You bring back the death penalty and you got no problem.
That's right. Northbound between Marquette Road and the Chicago Skyway is closed on the inbound side. We also have issues on the outbound side between 79th and the Skyway due to the closure for police activity. The Ryan is completely backed up. You'll want to avoid it coming in from Northwest Indiana or from the south side in general.
So how the hell else do you get here?
Well, that's you're going to have to take
Lakeshore Drive.
Lakeshore Drive would be the big one. You could take from Indiana, you would take the toll road in, and then not sure what you do. Or you take Halstead.
What's the world? Nothing in the world like it, Lakeshore? But that's the North Lakeshore Drive, I think. That's,
yeah.
Anyway.
Tri-State Tollway on the south side. We have a crash at Cicero that's been moved to the shoulder, but that's causing delays on 294 as well. Stevenson looks okay. Normal traffic volumes on the Eisenhower. On the Kennedy, we have issues with several disabled vehicles on the shoulder at the junction of the Montrose Avenue. Not sure what that means, but that's what the headline says. Several disabled vehicles.
Is there a pothole or something? Must be.
That would be my guess. That's on the outbound side at Montrose on the Kennedy, so keep that in mind. Western suburbs, Army Trail Road at Glen Ellen Road, there's an accident with injuries that's causing some delays. And in the northern burbs, we have a temporary malfunctioning signal at Town Line Road, which is Route 60, and Butterfield Road that's causing some delays. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, beautiful late fall day here for late October. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 54, lots of sunshine. Right now it's mostly clear and 43 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 88. Right now it's mostly clear and 64. In sports, 2 weeks ago, the Bears were in first place. Last week, they were in last place. Now they're back in first place as they keep winning and their division keeps losing, or vice versa, depending on the week. Bears beat the Jets 24-10. Mitch Trubisky tossed a couple of touchdown passes, one to Tariq Cohen, one to Anthony Miller. Jordan Howard rushed for a touchdown as the Bears held out Khalil Mack and still were very good on defense without him, beating the Jets 24-10. Bears are 4-3. Kyle Long left the game late in the fourth quarter with an apparent right foot or right ankle injury. He will get an MRI today, and we'll learn more about that. Hopefully not too serious, but didn't look great as he got helped off the field. And then
he was carted off the field.
Yeah, put onto a cart at the sideline.
Yeah.
The Cardinals got their second win of the year. They beat the 49ers in come-from-behind fashion, 18-15. Sunday Night Football, it was New Orleans beating Minnesota in Minnesota, 30-20. So, again, Bears first place at 4-3 in the NFC North. They're at Buffalo next week. In hockey, the Coyotes were off. Blackhawks were in action. They lost in overtime, 2-1 to Edmonton. NBA Bulls were off. Suns lost to OKC, 117-110. Oh, and by the way, there was a World Series game last night.
Yeah, just by the way.
And the Red Sox won their fourth world title in the last 15 years, beating the Dodgers 5-1 last night and winning that series 4-1. Red Sox, far and away, best team all season long from beginning to end, and they showed in the playoffs.
Chief, so why did that guy pull Rich Hill Saturday night?
It's a good question. I didn't watch the game, so I don't know.
I didn't see the game either.
I saw they were up 4-0 late in the seventh inning.
He was up to like 80 some pitches. The guy throws like 70 miles an hour, and he had those guys totally befuddled. He gives up. One guy gets on and begins at the top of the seventh. They immediately bring out the hook, and then and they scored what, 7 runs in the next 3 innings.
They scored nine in the next three innings.
And they had one hit, and the relief corps was totally decimated from the 18-inning game the night before. You think if you'd have pitched him until he dropped on the mound.
Or at least until it was in danger of giving up the lead.
Especially, yeah, 4-run lead. I mean, it's surprising. And Rich Hill's been very good for the Dodgers over the last few years. He's kind of resurrected his career out there. And he was giving them exactly what they needed. Just like you said, Chief, after an 18-inning game where he had to use everyone. But that's pretty commonplace in today's MLB. You know, you don't expect a lot from your starter. You might get 6 innings, and if he goes into the seventh, you might tell him, "Hey, we're going to ride with you unless you get the leadoff guy on."
Well,
and,
you know, he might have said he was tired too. I mean, yeah. We weren't part of it, but
I don't think Rich Hill is going to say he's tired in the seventh inning.
No, I mean, when he was pitching batting practice 2 years ago. I mean, a lot of times these guys that they lose their smoke. And they don't realize you can still pitch.
Well, they become pitchers and not throwers.
Yes,
and they use it to their advantage.
What did Warren Spahn say? I mean, it was one of the best ever. He's hitting is all about timing, so pitching is all about disrupting the hitter's timing.
Yep.
And
if you're consistently throwing 100 miles an hour, even if you're throwing 100 miles an hour, major league hitters will catch up to you. If all you're doing is throwing that heater. If you mix up the speeds, think about a guy like Greg Maddux. And if you know, you can throw slow stuff, or Kyle Hendricks today. You mix up the speed and location, and you'll befuddle them.
Well, hey, who's that guy in St. Louis, man? He's the same way. He's outstanding. He's even better than Hendricks, isn't he, the one guy?
For St. Louis?
Yeah, the guy that he's Mr.
No idea who you're talking about.
Moved the ball all around the place. He pitched in the who did they play in? He beat the Cubs bad. That Saturday in the last series of the year. What's his name?
Carpenter?
No, definitely not him. Begins with a G, I think.
Yeah, I have no idea who you're talking about. By the way, to continue the conversation that you guys were having before the break, Kevin writes in, Brennan is correct, but that's only part of the intent. Electoral college and Senate composition would not be issues with the limited federal government that the founders intended if we had more state governing relative to federal governing. If you prefer a bigger central government, then of course you don't like the Electoral College and equal Senate representation for each state.
It's insane.
There are pros and cons to it, but you know
there are no pros. There are zero pros. to putting together something that, in this day and age, when you're supposed to have one man, one vote, and then have a formula that has one guy's vote counting 50 more than another, where is the pro?
The pro is that if I'm in a state like Wyoming, I have an equal representation, and my voice is just as strong, and because it's one
state.
It's
not as strong.
It's more strong.
It's 50 times as strong.
I know, but my point is that no state is stronger than another state. Whether that's right or wrong, I'm not taking a point on that for this statement. But you treat all states equally. I personally disagree with that. I mean, I think that there should not be as much power in the Senate as there is because of the representation vote.
The issue I have with it is a state is just a made up boundary.
That's right.
That can change and it doesn't, it's not a real thing. People are real things, and mm-hmm. that's what makes up the state. So when you say all states need to be equal, no one gives a rat's ass about a state. Who cares? At least I don't.
But it did back in 1781.
It's just an arbitrary line.
You're right. But
in 1781, you pooped outside. Nobody does it anymore.
Yeah, I know.
The people matter. And I don't like the fact that people in Wyoming, who I don't think are as educated across the board as
Eddie, if you count the guns and the horses, they might, and that makes them real men. They're not girly men like people in California. They're manly men.
I'm just saying, like, it just blows my mind that their vote is 150 times more valuable than someone in Massachusetts or someone in
California or Illinois or Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah. Or southern states in Texas. Mm-hmm. I don't like the fact that their vote counts way less than people in Alabama's. I mean, whatever. It doesn't even have to be a right versus left thing. It's just common sense thing.
I agree. And I've made that statement in the past when we've been talking about some of the things in the Senate representation and voting for some. I made that exact same point that there's a disparity in the representation and the strength in our government system for the smaller states, smaller by population, not by landmass, but by population. It is the spirit. And if you look at the representation of people who voted for Kavanaugh, for example, or Gorsuch, they were nominated and put on the Supreme Court by a minority of the public in the United States.
The Republicans have won like one popular vote in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but for God's sake, Clinton won, and obviously Reagan won in the 80s, and George won in 88. But since 92, they've won one popular vote.
Yep.
And
2004.
That's not a democracy, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's clearly not. And, We're a republic, and that's the argument. But, yep. I don't know, that just bothers me. And I'm not a Democrat by any means, but I don't like the fact that a minority of people are making policies for my life.
I think we can put up with the presidency, we can put up with the Senate, but when the Senate goes viral and starts putting other people on for life that nobody's going to agree with 20 years from now, probably, that's too much stacked up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's too much stacked up. And if you want to give the people on the Supreme Court 10 years, then I wouldn't have as much problem with it. But, putting guys on there, why don't we put somebody on there who's 21? You know, and have him be there for 70 years.
I'll tell you, some of the judges some of the summaries of the judicial candidates' backgrounds that have been nominated and appointed right now aren't too far from a 21-year-old right out of college. They've got as much experience on the bench as a 21-year-old right out of college.
Well, I don't know, just because somebody sort of did it, you know, and it's not just that. It has to do with, I don't see how you don't have a, some kind of a constitutional, we'll quit talking about the federal government. Right now, Chicago is down, 20% in population from its peak?
Mm-hmm.
We should be down 20 aldermen, or 20% in aldermen. We should have 40, not 50. We don't
agreed.
So
I agree.
I mean,
too.
But the point I'm making is the people who win by the current system. And I'm not, if the Democrats win the next presidency, they're going to love the Electoral College too. They're just as big idiots. It's not like, it's not like they're going to come in and change it if they just won by it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so.
Well, the one they're going to love is the Republicans passed a law that allowed subcommittee heads, gave them subpoena power. And right now, the Democrats are just ecstatic about it. If they take over the House, the Democrats are going to have subcommittees where the head of the subcommittee has subpoena power.
Well, we'll
get to see Trump's taxes.
That's insane. I mean, the idea that we're going to spend the rest of our lifetime with these two diametrically opposed people running these parties. I mean, obviously, I try and put on the show as many people from both sides, but I'd vote for Kevin tomorrow. I'd vote for Lou tomorrow. All our right, I think even the right wing guys would vote for our left wing. I don't know about Frank. The right wing, left wing. But that's not.
I know. I'm in Slim Coleman's pocket.
but that's sort of not the point. I mean, we don't want these idiots fighting back and forth over this crap. I don't want the House, the first thing they do with all the stuff I think they're supposed to be doing, to spend the first year screwing around Trump's taxes. The guy's going to be gone, you know, by the time it's, you know, either 2 years or an eight. He's not going to...
Six.
I mean, well, in eight total. But that's not what I want to see these people do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see... God, I can't even imagine Maxine Waters ahead of the banking committee. I mean, for God's sake. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, I don't...
What's the current banking committee done that you support?
They could be worse.
Boy, that's a low bar, isn't it?
Yeah, why can't we figure out that a lot of our issues countrywide, and I'm not even sure, I don't know enough, when Kevin comes on Wednesday, I'll ask him about this red hat, because he probably knows more than I do, which is easy. Why can't we have to find some way to foster some sort of competition in this country with some of these companies before we're left with two or three in every industry and people working. This is such, I cringe. You ever get the feeling, you guys, when you see something and you go, boy, if that ever spread, how bad things would be?
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Europe to do our, Dr. Jay and I went lecturing in 1991, had a great time, and went to Austria and then Germany, and went to the big banks and so forth, and I'm sitting there, wow, I go, these guys are so powerful, they own a huge percentage of all the companies, they've got all the money in town, the small people don't make anything. The people that are talking about the white males, for God's sake, in Germany. I mean, the lawyers that were 65 made 90 times more than a guy who was 30. I mean, it absolutely was. And I just, when I left, I go, God, we could never get like this. Could we?
And yes.
Now we're looking around going, God, it looks just like it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got big fat banks sitting there doing God knows what. We're making more money. They control, well, we said that everybody, what was the rules used to be, Frank? You couldn't have more than 8% or 8.5% of all the deposits in the country. Now we have four banks that are over that. Well, Bank of America's got like 12.
We used to have usury laws.
Yep.
Yeah, well, we still do. They just don't count, thanks to the Supreme Court. Because if you move it to a state that doesn't have a usury law, they can charge in your state whatever you want.
The Dakotas.
Or South Carolina. South Carolina's the other one, right? Isn't that where...
That's where B of A is.
And isn't... Citigroup's there too, right?
Or is North Carolina too.
Yeah, I mean, but these problems are becoming problems. I mean, the idea to me, I mean, I don't see how, just on a fairness angle, when you came down to the hanging chads of Bush versus Gore, and anybody whoever took a week of statistics would tell you statistically that race was a dead heat. That when you have those kinds of problems and that many people, and you're talking about 1,000 votes one way or the other, there's no way that's not a dead heat. I mean, the idea that you can have a Western movie and, you know, Ben Cartwright's the final vote between Hoss and Little Joe, you know, where you can identify the 30 people that voted for Hoss and the 30 for Little Joe, and the only guy left in town to vote is Ben. That you can do that in a Western movie. You can't do that today. I mean, if Illinois has a vote and it's 4 million on one side and 4 million and one on the other side, anybody who thinks that's a winner or a loser, I mean, I got a bridge for him to sell. I mean, the idea, and who would care if Florida had 35 votes, which meant one guy got, 18 and the other guy got 17. But for the one guy to get 35 on an obviously tied dead heat is stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'll debate that to beat the band. The idea that there actually is a 40 vote margin in the state of New York. Give me a break. It hasn't happened. You don't count these absentees here. These are getting lost. And now all of a sudden, we got the entire world can't show up on election day where somebody looks at you, they're your neighbors, they're a judge, they check your signature, and they say, go ahead and vote. All of a sudden, we're going to do this all by mail. Bull bleep. I mean, the amount of, and I'm going to say this in Illinois, all the people in Inglewood are on vacation, Brendan? You think so? I mean, if we wanted to do this fairly, which we don't, we'd have the elections on a Sunday where everybody, well, a lot of people aren't working, and most people work on Sunday, maybe don't work the full day.
You can't have it. Sunday's the Sabbath for
That's
some
God's
folks.
Day. Everybody is in church that day.
The only people, you can't have it on a Saturday because the Jewish people actually count that as a Sabbath, but the Catholics give you 1 hour on Sunday. That's it.
Or Saturday evening.
What? Yeah, you can do Saturday evening. After sundown, right? Mm-hmm. You can do, but my point being, we don't want to make it fair. And the fact is, the people don't see elections then as the cause for anything.
Well, the idea of fairness is the reason for early voting now. That you, rather than just have it as one day, you allow people to vote for a couple of days, a couple of weeks before the election to generate more voting.
Why do we care if there's more voting if in some states the outcome's already there?
Well, that's a fair point, but you still, and the same thing is when you're looking at disenfranchisement. You know, if you're restricting the number of people who can vote, what difference does it make? Because there is a lot of voter manipulation. You know, we've talked about this before, even on the show, about gerrymandering. And gerrymandering is okay as long as our guy's getting in.
Well, sure.
And that's another unintended consequence of things that happen through court decisions and through things like the Voting Rights Act of 1964. You know, the purpose behind the Voting Rights Act and a lot of the court decisions was to ensure that a wrong that was perceived in the past of keeping out minority representation has been changed. And therefore, gerrymandering was okay so long as you allowed for minority representation to get into Congress. However, that same argument is being used now to allow for gerrymandering along political lines, not racial or ethnic lines. And now you're looking back and saying, wait a minute, that's not really right, and that doesn't really... wasn't really the purpose of the act. No, but the arguments are still the same that are being used to allow gerrymandering today for political reasons that were used back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s to justify gerrymandering for minority representation.
Well, and you end up, I think we gerrymandered a district here in Illinois. If anybody wants to reach for the air sickness bag, take a look at, I don't know which district it is, I don't know, maybe you can look it up.
Are you talking about the one by Gutierrez?
Yeah, Gutierrez.
And now Chuy Garcia?
Now Chuy. Mm-hmm. It was totally gerrymandered to where if you know Chicago geography at all, if you look at that district, you'll see, wow, it's on the south side and it's on the north side.
Earmuffs.
How could that be? and you look at the piece of property, Frank, I bet you don't know this. Name the, they have to be contiguous. Name the piece of land that connects the two.
Harlem Avenue.
No.
No, it's probably Roosevelt or 28.
No, it's a north-south street.
Yep.
Oh, a north-south?
Yeah.
25th Street.
I can't believe
it. Or First Avenue, somewhere in there.
I can't believe Brendan doesn't know this.
What is it, Ashland?
You're getting worse.
Cicero or Central.
You know what a
coming
of,
to think of it. What is it, Tom?
If you take the Eisenhower out and you turn north where it becomes 290,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you run right next to the Tri-State, 294.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that piece of property in the middle where nobody lives. That's the piece of land that connects the two. Where nobody lives there.
Is that in Cook County or DuPage?
That's in Cook, I think in Cook.
So you run from the south side up that to Belmont. You're right about the Belmont, Brendan. Then you run back along Belmont, and you take like a block on each side of Belmont, all the way from the far west into the Hispanic neighborhood on the north side. And so if you live on Belmont, you're in that district. For now, my district for the state is who's the African American guy, the total schmuck who got thrown out of the Senate? Was it Smith, Terry Smith, or what the hell his name was?
Yeah, and I can't think of the guy's name. I know who you're talking
and
about.
Then he got reelected.
Yeah,
that's my guy. So there's this African American, whatever, lack of a better term, district on the west side, and they reach into my area, which is called the Ranch Triangle, so they essentially steal, I'm going to say, 4,000 white votes that aren't going to do anybody any good. Okay, because what's the point? I mean, it's not your personage. They'll never come near me to campaign because we're throwaways, mm-hmm. right? And it's like on the south side, the black neighborhoods, they reach out into some suburb, so the suburb is not represented at all. That's where, who's the guy who used to be the Black Panthers? That was his name. He gets
Bobby Rush.
Can there be a more useless representative? Could it possibly be?
Maxine Waters. Come on. Everybody yeah. knows that.
Well, I'm going to go to the vote, and I'm going to say, I don't think Mike Quigley is opposed, so he's my rep. There's no Senate race.
He's my rep, too. Mike in Quigley? Elmhurst.
Mm-hmm. Mike Quigley, how could he be?
Because of the way the districts are drawn.
He's the Lakeshore. No, you're not Mike Quigley.
I'm right by that little strip of land you're talking about. I'm within a mile of that.
Really? I thought you'd be Danny Davis. Because I keep going back.
No, we used to be Peter Roskam. And
you are the
now we're Mike Quigley.
You're the 5th congressional district? How the hell can it be? The guy, he's up like by Wrigley or someplace, isn't mm-hmm. the district.
That's the district.
The 5th district boundaries.
That's the district that was represented by Dan Rostenkowski, by Rahm Emanuel, by Rod
right.
Blagojevich, all Chicago politicians.
But how the hell does it make it out to... But, so let's see. So I have my state senator is not from my hood.
Oh, he easily covers Elmhurst.
Really?
He's got... the whole north side, and then he's got into Rosemont, into Elmhurst, into Oak Brook.
Where does Danny Davis sit? Where does he go?
He's on the near north side. No,
he doesn't go to Elmhurst or Oak Brook, that's for sure.
I'm just
holy cow, is that a gerrymandered district.
This 5th district, man, it looks like the state of Maryland.
What, is it worse than Gutierrez? What number is that?
I don't know. I'll find out.
And then who's Danny Davis? I keep going back and forth. But so my state rep and my state senator, they'll both be unopposed. And there'll be two African-Americans I have no clue who the hell they are, which doesn't make them bad. Well, the one guy was bad because he got thrown out and got put back in. And the laws are that if you get voted back in, they can't throw you out a second time, even though you're a crook.
That's right.
You couldn't write fiction like this. And we wonder
why. Well, they could throw him out if there's another offense.
Right.
But it's like the concept of double jeopardy. He cannot get thrown out again. He cannot be impeached and thrown out of the House again for the same allegation.
God. And we wonder why we're... I just like to give these people somewhat of a test. I mean, has Maxine Waters ever been on a trading floor? Is there something minimum you have to know to have these jobs?
No.
Has anybody been on a trading floor lately?
I haven't.
What are there? There's nobody.
Well, there's a few spots but
left.
I remember when back when you could, the CBOE had a dinner. We used to have one of our board meetings was in Washington. We started inviting the SEC people, and of course you got every breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you would have a guy from the Senate or the House come by. And at the time, you know, it sounds weird, but it really isn't. I think the most you could give them in those days, Brent, was $1,000. So essentially, you paid somebody to come over and, you know, but it was a learning experience for them, too.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't, I mean, it was a way for them to meet the constituency and people didn't know what the SIBO did. So the people at the CBO would explain to them what they did, and then they would talk and ask questions. And I think if guys did that, they would learn a real lot. Mm-hmm. And $1,000 didn't seem to me to be – you're not buying anybody for a G, I don't think. And we'd have these guys combine.
All right, wait a minute. When you're paying them $1,000, you're right. You're not buying a vote for $1,000. But how many traders are paying $1,000?
No, nobody. This was just, I mean, I'm talking about if they came to breakfast here for the board,
mm-hmm.
if they were in town, we gave them one G, and maybe they did a floor tour, maybe they didn't.
Okay, but is it coming from an individual trader, or is it coming from the board total?
It's coming from the CBOE. That's what was okay. The max you could give.
Okay.
So there would be, you know, 20 people there to hear these guys and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, we'll talk to you next week, if not earlier, buddy, if the market keeps jumping all over the place. Thank you very much. Knock yourself out.
Okay.
Have a good week. SP Futures still up 25. Dow up 142. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Hines, Mr. Brennan Fernand, and Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 23. Dow futures up 132. NASDAQ futures up 74. And we'll just review where we were last Friday so we get some kind of an idea. Last Friday we were down 296, so it's about halfway. S&P futures down 46, where it's about halfway. And then NASDAQ down 151, that's about halfway. So, what's the Fibonacci number is what, two-thirds? So if we come back two-thirds, that's a Fibonacci retracement, right? I'm not big on Fibonacci's, but...
But no one makes all their money back.
Well, I mean, we could all of a sudden rack it off to new highs here today, but...
But I'm saying if we only come back two-thirds.
Right.
Colleen writes in on Facebook, and by the way, you can like our recently launched Facebook page if you haven't already. She says, check out the First District map for Bobby Rush, Chief.
Yeah, I mean, it shoots out way to the... Yeah, they steal a whole suburb.
It goes all the way to Joliet.
Yeah, yeah. It's
The idea of a random who was our Matt Murphy, our
yeah.
guy ESPN, and
was on several times.
Yeah, he said that what they did, his area was so Republican up by Barrington and so forth that they essentially took what few Democrats he had and put them in the other districts around him, so he had like none. So he didn't even have to, he didn't have to do anything.
Because he was a Republican. He was a Republican, loved it.
Yeah. He didn't have to do anything.
When you look about the topic about representation, just look at how many elections in the state of Illinois, for example, have unopposed elections.
Well, yeah.
Whether you're Democrat or Republican, depending on the part of the state, there is no opponent. Even look at in Chicago, out in Bill Lipinski's district, the Nazi sympathizer who won on the Republican side in the primary because no other Republicans were put up against him in the primary. That is ludicrous.
Yep. So here's your girl. IBM CEO Ginni Rometty insists the 63% premium the tech giant is paying for Redhead is a fair price. She couldn't have got it for 62 or 61. It had to be 63. If you believe in the market as a pricing mechanism at all, that is ludicrous. Unless these guys are going to be able to take this group and raise their prices so much that, I don't know if IBM can do that to them, but if they did, I don't know. It's something's wrong. I mean, so how does IBM lose market share every single year and sell this kind of money to buy somebody like this? And now you would think that her job would be to innovate and grow that way. It's like drug companies. You had two or three big winners. You had Viagra and a few others a few years ago, so now all you do is buy up other little guys because you've been making money on Viagra for 19 years, and you never have to do anything again, and so you're going to be the drug company of choice for the next five centuries. Didn't we used to like not let people do that in this country because the English let one Grandpa Matty Weber in the 1200s kill everybody and made all the money, and he was a nobleman? And he made money for all his kids and grandkids to be basically bleep holes for the rest of their lives on his money. We didn't want that to happen here. And now it seems like we do, right? We've turned into that. I'm not sure why. Funny, Brent, I can't, as I go back and forth on this, especially if you study like I did the political economy under George Stigler, and the other guys at Chicago that were into that area that don't really, well, they win Nobel Prizes, but they don't really get a lot of press time. There's this constant overlap between the market, economics, the economy, and people's behavior patterns, and you see the interplay, and it's really really very interesting. Some of it's predictable, some of it's not so predictable, and you wonder. I mean, everybody, what the end game is, on some of this stuff. Are we going to get to be people in this country are going to be so against a single-payer healthcare system that we're going to end up with two insurance companies, four hospitals, and we're going to end up with a oligopoly healthcare system, which, it's not all that much different, is it? I mean, so we're going to go from one to the other. I mean, and we don't seem to have definitions for a lot of things, even at this, after doing this forever, we still don't know what patent laws should look like, I don't think. We don't know how much people have a patent can charge, if it's a good that everybody needs. We don't seem to have a clue on how big is too big. When we get down to two companies in one business, we're going to say, "Oh my God, look what we did!" Mm-hmm. But instead of saying, "When there was five, you can't get together," when it was easy, now we're going to try and break apart two, which is a 10-year deal and bazillion attorneys all over the place. Sorry, guys like you making a fortune. I mean,
all right. So what's wrong with that?
Yeah, really. What's wrong? If I was one of you guys, I'd say there's not a whole lot wrong with that.
Well, that isn't that the whole purpose of the discussion we've had so far on the political side
if
as well.
If it's good for me, it's
good for me. It's if it's good for GM, it's good for the country. If it's good for me, it's good for the country.
Well, I mean, and people will constantly think that way. But once in a while, you have to have somebody who's kind of above the fray.
Mm-hmm.
As much as some people on the right didn't like some of the stuff Roosevelt did, and I don't know how the hell he let slip by him and I think he almost did let it slip by him, the Japanese internment things. I mean, you can criticize something about everybody. But, I mean, here was a guy that didn't worry about people staying in his hotels in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't worry about cutting deals overseas for his kids,
For his business interests, for his hotels business. And things.
I mean, there were things that there were a lot of things you, quote, didn't have to worry about. You know, he was a guy that couldn't even really walk, so you didn't have to worry about, you know.
Roosevelt?
Yeah, I mean, okay. So I'm saying there were a lot of things there's no doubt the man's focus was on that job.
Mm-hmm.
And there were things you, quote, didn't have to worry about. Don't worry about, you know, book deals afterward. You don't have to worry about him, you know, doing a rubber chicken circuit, because obviously he was going to die in office, and everybody knew that his fourth term. Doesn't make him perfect, but now you've got all these other things to worry about. I mean, I see this group in Washington I can't tell who's more corrupt than the next, but talk about doing things that are self-serving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, good Lord, we have guys in massive businesses. You don't have to worry about Harry Truman, who never really made a dime outside government.
But he made good hats.
But you didn't have to worry about him, you know, doing a tax cut just for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or Wilbur Ross saved more than anybody on this inheritance tax cut. There are things that now we bring into the equation we don't even have to really worry about. I didn't worry about Paul Simon being a sleazebag. When he got out, he went and taught at the community college, right? Or Chuck Percy. I mean, mm-hmm. he was already a president of Bell and Howell. He had money. He never flaunted it. Same thing with Everett Dirksen, even Peter Fitzgerald. I don't problem with any of those people. Now you interject all this other kind of crap into these things. People making dough, doing this, their wives are on 15 boards. You know, I mean, the idea that, you know, Senator Phil Graham's wife was on the place that blew up board. And,
what, Enron?
She was on the Enron board. Wasn't she head of the governance committee? And yet, and Skilling just got out of jail,
mm-hmm.
and she's fine. She went on to be head of the Energy Commission or something.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? Is Alina Cho is on the
McConnell's wife?
Yeah, McConnell's wife is on the Bank America board. Could there be a more dysfunctional board in this country? And now she's the transportation secretary?
Yeah, she's been the transportation secretary for a while now.
You ask these questions, you sit there and go, what are these people, and how do you get, a mensch to the top of this thing? I mean, is there no way we're going to get, I'm going to say, an honest person? I mean, Barack Obama, I mean, he made a lot of, all he did was make promises in a lot of ways, and he did exactly the opposite. I mean, the fact is, he became a slave to the big money interests as well. I mean, his signature plan, the Obamacare plan, was torpedoed by insurance companies and hospitals.
Yes.
And he didn't stop it. Now, mm-hmm. he either didn't care, was too lazy, or was too dumb to understand. And I don't know which it is. I don't think he's a dumb man. But I don't think he has any idea of the details of something like that, given his background.
Or the compromise necessary to get it passed.
Right. I don't think you have to compromise with an insurance company. They're just a company.
No, but the companies, the healthcare industry, the insurance industry has lobbyists which put pressure on the politicians to vote. And the compromise comes in is to go in the way that the lobbyists are pointing you in order to get my vote as a congressman, whether it's in the House or in the Senate. If I listen to my constituents, meaning the lobbyists who's paying me my campaign money, then there's a compromise that I won't vote for Obamacare unless this provision is changed.
Well,
that's the pressure that I'm talking about.
And I don't know that my style would necessarily work, Brendan. But I think, matter of fact, it probably wouldn't. Plus, I'd never get a chance to try it because nobody wants me like me in there. I would take 10 people from each side. And I dragged their behinds up to Camp David, and I say, now look, it looks to me like if we're going to fix this healthcare issue, and it looks to me like it needs to be fixed or changed or something, and here's the reasons why I think the current one's screwed up. And I could rattle them off. You know, who gets paid, the difference in how much people pay, the difference mm-hmm. in it. I mean, not to mention there's 40 million people that are not covered. You know, I think we have to somewhat fix this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of the problem, in my opinion, is that the insurance companies and hospitals have got themselves inroads in here, and they're controlling the pricing and they're doing this stuff. So it's clear to me that if we go forward, all of us on both sides of the aisle, by the way, have a drink, on both sides of the aisle, we're going to be sort of against these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not naive. I know that all of you guys have gotten money from them, because guess what? So have I.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so somehow or another, with all of us getting reelected again and needing the money, which I get, we're going to have to go against these guys, because guess what? If we just do what they want us to do, we can't go down this road. Because look how far we are down it now, and it's not so good.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow or another, you have to have the personality to pull that off. And I don't know that Obama just said, okay, I got one more vote than they do, I'll just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is, I don't think anything that ever passed like that ever was any good.
Well, remember that when Obamacare passed, the Democrats had a supermajority in both the House
and
the Senate.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just one vote. He had the 60 votes necessary when that passed in 2009.
Right, but he didn't have 70, he had 60.
That's right.
Or 61, or whatever mm-hmm. the hell it was. But mm-hmm. but my point is you're making pretty big changes here.
Yep.
You know, and same way if you decide you want more than four companies selling airplanes to the Air Force,
mm-hmm.
or more than two now, or whatever you have. Was it now Lockheed Grumman is the other one?
Yeah, Lockheed and Boeing.
Yeah, so, but I mean, you're going to sit there and say, we've all gotten a check from Boeing, and yet I don't think having one airline company for commercial or for the other is basically what we want to go here. I mean, so somehow or another, we're going to have to find a way to get somebody else. Now, does Bombardier's come in some? So there has been a third person coming in. But, I mean, a lot of the stuff that you need to do is not going to be popular with the people throwing money at you.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, the regular people, the middle class, in my opinion, have been so brainwashed, I'll use that term, that they don't have unions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all you have is public unions. So the steel workers union, the auto union, maybe not on purpose, in Washington, did line up with the goals of the middle class in a lot of ways.
Yes, they did.
And now they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And the middle class has nobody.
Why are they not there?
Because a lot of the unions went to the side of the businesses.
Yeah.
They've been completely crushed by the right wing over the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm. They're not strong, maybe.
It was chipped away piecemeal over the last 50 years.
Yep.
It wasn't just that they were crushed by the conservative right wing. There were little incremental things given up along the way.
And they sold out, too.
And they sold out.
Yeah.
And the union leaders, right, the union leaders became complicit in thinking that what's right for GM is good for America. Not what's right for the workers, but what's right for GM, what's good for GM is good for America. And you saw this movement of the union leaders going along with the business interest for short-term gains to the ultimate detriment of their constituency.
And you even have, ARP. Why the retired people? People send money to those guys. Have you heard those guys outpeep at all over zero interest rates over the last 9 years? Whose constituency got hurt worse than those guys?
Mm-hmm.
Have not heard a word. You didn't even hear the ACLU during Obama's presidency because
mm-hmm.
he's black. The guy's perfect. No, he wasn't.
Well, also with the AARP and healthcare.
Yeah.
You don't hear them putting up a big fight right now, and yet the senior population is one of the strongest constituencies of a voting bloc in the country today. More seniors vote on a percentage basis than any other age group. When you think about the retirees, or certainly people over 55, have a much higher percentage of voting than any other age group.
You should have, there should be ARP commercials, if it was me, there would be ARP commercials saying, you vote for Matt Weber. Matt Weber takes money from Merck. Merck just raised the price of this particular drug by 50%, and 80% of our people take this drug. We don't want Matt Weber anywhere near that place. You don't see him doing that at all. Not at all. Nobody has any stones. So, I give money to ARP every year because I get my insurance through them, but what are they doing? What does the ACLU do?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't taken on Trump. They didn't take on Obama. I think they hibernated for the 8 years Obama was in there.
Mm-hmm.
He's black. We can't touch him. I mean, what are we doing here? So I'm saying the middle class, somehow or another, in the words of Evan Bayh, we need to put our big boy pants on and take the country back from the extremes. I don't see any of that happening. Are we going to get a third-party candidate, or are we going to get Trump versus God knows who, Elizabeth Warren or somebody? What would cause anybody to go to the polls, for mm-hmm. God's sake?
Well, look at, on a scale closer to home, look at the choice we have next week for Illinois governor. Two billionaires. How can any either one of those guys relate to the factory worker?
The answer is they don't.
They don't.
It's another one. Who the hell am I going to vote for there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't. The what has to happen in these states, we know has to happen. There needs to be an amendment. There needs to be a constitutional convention. You got to change this retirement thing. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, and what? So Rauner is going to fight. Rauner is just going to fight about it with Madigan, and yet still he won't. He will not call Madigan out on some of the stuff that he does.
Mm-hmm.
There, as much as he bitches about the guy, there's stuff he could say and he won't.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I'd love to see the gentleman's agreement that these guys have. You can call Matty Weber his mother something something. You can do whatever you want. But if you ever mentioned it, Matty took money from someplace. That's off the chart because I probably took money from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
or you were the part of the contributor.
Yeah. I mean, man, isn't it amazing how even to a younger guy, how there's areas they won't go? Even when they were fighting with this drug guy in the stands, all he did was talk about beer. They never mentioned drugs. Never mentioned drugs. Now who made that call? Because if all of a sudden these things became drug haze places, I'm going to guess that if you went down the charter of all the people who went to that school in the 4 years he was there, you'd probably find, what, 10 judges? probably 5 members of Congress and the heads of 4 or 5 companies. And nobody wanted to paint the whole school as a bunch of druggies for 4 years. I'm not sure they were or they weren't, but I mean, it's amazing to me, especially when Bobby Kennedy's kid went there and died of an overdose, that the subject never came up in the midst of a really contentious day in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Yet still, there's these little places they won't go, and I'm dying to find out who describes those places, but who's the man behind the curtain? Okay, you guys could fight like a bunch of idiots all day long over beer and groping some girls behind, but by the way, don't mention drugs. Who's the guy who comes out and says that?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a person?
I don't have an answer for that.
Maybe the movie Eyes is more than we think.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come in here. The wizard's in here, you know. But again, it affects the market. Now, obviously, something changed from Friday. Friday, the market looked horrible, and I know because nobody wanted to be short over the week or long over the weekend. And now today, we're bouncing back pretty strong. Now, will we hold? If it's like last week, we'll be up about here today. We'll fade a little bit into the close, and tomorrow we'll be down. Now, hopefully, that pattern doesn't continue. Because I don't really want stuff going down much more. I mean, we haven't had any margin call issues here, but I suspect, if you call RBC, I bet you'd find our margin department was pretty busy, you think?
Mm-hmm.
Why, Brennan, on either side of the aisle, whenever you have anything to do with taxes, why does not one person mention raising that $3,000 capital gain deduction per year?
Mm-hmm.
In the 30-some years I've been in a business, the numbers never changed. Why is it so important to leave it like that?
Do you think the up-and-down nature of the market last week is due primarily to the election coming up and the uncertainty of the election?
I think there's a bunch of factors. The factors clearly are revaluation. I mean, with the interest rates moving up even a little, they were down so low that some of these companies were priced at ridiculous numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the rates have come up some, so I, like I said earlier, I think we probably are down low enough for this iteration, but that doesn't mean anything. We could go a lot lower, or we could bounce right back up. But I mean, Amazon at a risk-free rate of 2.5% is not worth $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
If at a risk-free rate of 1%, like it was for a while, people don't even look at interest rates. It's all about selling the thing afterward, right? Because you have no alternative use of the money. But now, you're starting to get a little alternative use of the money, right? I mean, I've put some people in T-bills, and we have other people at PTI for 6 months, not for like 10 years. And I think we go to the auction, Brendan. We don't try and buy them on the market because we don't even want to give up that edge. But every Thursday, we'll take the order on Wednesday, and if you wanted to dump, you know, half a million or $25 million account in T-bills for 6 months, we'd just go do them for you. We'd get them for you. Now, if the rates run up and at the end of 6 months they're 4%, we probably wish we'd have waited a week, but it's still something. You know, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye. It's not zero. And oh, by the way, the market will probably be lower then, and when you come out, you can make a better buy, right, if that's what you want to do. Uh-huh. So I mean, there's already been a little turn from people. You see IB talking about having brokerage advertisements. By the way, we clear through IB on our electronic side, so you can earn money here if you want. RBC still doesn't pay much, but IB does. You can start now making, you know, 1.5% or 2% in your brokerage account, which 2 years from now, there was nothing there. So, I mean, when we did this 10 years ago, if somebody dropped me $1 million, the guy was making 3.5% at the clearing firm. I was under no great. Where's my pressure to put? I only was under pressure to find him something I thought was better than 3.5%, which is a lot different than finding something that's better than zero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God, anything should be better than zero, right? You would think. But no, it's very, very difficult. When it started, now you add the political part, and I honestly think that everybody thought, even me, suspicious as I can be, I thought that there was a 90% chance that this China thing was going to be, we pontificate a while, and all of a sudden we declare victory, and then all of a sudden nobody gets to read the thing, and we change four lines, and now we went from the worst deal ever to the greatest deal ever. Now it looks like it's not happening by
the China deal or the NAFTA deal?
The China deal. I thought we'd NAFTA, Korea, and I thought the same thing would happen in China. That we would, mm-hmm. The thing would be done by now, would have declared victory. And now, I don't see there was any chance of it happening by next Tuesday, do you?
Mm-hmm. No.
Everybody I know, everybody I've talked to in business has seen their prices coming to them up dramatically, a lot of it because of the tariffs, Brennan. And, anybody who thinks there's no inflation is out of their friggin' mind. I mean, SP Futures up 24. Come back with Mr. David Adelman. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, Nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks. Jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here. Right now. Right here.
Hello, everybody. It's Jackson Jacks. I'm Tamani. Mr. Brennan Cornell with David Adelman in a second. S&P futures up 27 now. It's the highest I've seen. Dow up 154. We have the NASDAQ up 80. So we're trying to put a huge dent in a Friday sell-off. We keep going down one day, up the next. I think if we're down, if you want to trade the last couple weeks, Brendan, if we're down on the close, you buy. If we're up on the close, you sell. We'll see how long that keeps up. Oil down a whole 5 cents now, not much. 67.54, but nowhere near that $74 it was a few weeks ago. I'm really stunned at this sell-off, but I think I've been stunned before. 10-year yield 3.09. Over in Europe, we've got rallies across the board. As Angela Merkel says, she's going to step down as the not run as a fifth term and stepping down as a party leader. So I don't necessarily think that's a positive, but the market's up 227, 2% over there in German land. FTSE up 142, 2%. CAC around up 56, 1.1%. I'm going to say she was the most rational person on the Brexit thing, too. Why the hell would the British market be up? Brennan, what am I missing here? I don't know. I guess I'm confused on this European politics. Over in Asia, Nikkei down 34.1%, but this is a big one. Shanghai down 56, 2.2, 2542. Chinese economy is in bad shape. Hang Seng up 94. They're going the other way like they have been. Like I said, oil down 5 cents. Brent up 2. The spread is $10.10. We got gold now down 280. Silver up 3 cents. So not much happening there. Copper up 3 cents, 277. A far cry from the $3 it was a few weeks ago. So if you're as copper goes, so does the Chinese economy. You're not seeing much hope there as copper keeps going down. Eddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. The Dan Ryan is reopened, so that's good news. We, of course, had the overnight shootings that took place earlier this morning that had the Ryan closed, all lanes closed for the majority of the early part of the commute, but they are reopened. So a lot of resulting congestion from that, as you can imagine, but at least they're reopened now. Earlier crash on the tri-state is all clear as well. We see lots of traffic volumes, though, on the south side, on the Ryan, the tri-state, on Stevenson specifically. So keep that in mind. Bishop Ford looks okay, as does I-57. Eisenhower, high traffic volumes, but no accidents to report. We do have an issue on the Kennedy. There's a crash that's partially blocking the left lane inbound at Division. So that has the Kennedy backed up past Armitage there on the inbound side. So give yourself plenty of time if you're coming in on the Kennedy. Edens looks okay. Suburban tollways are relatively quiet. Out in the western burbs, we have a crash at County Farm Road and Schick Road. That's out near Carroll Stream in that area. Northern suburbs, Town Line Road, which is Route 60 at Fairfield Road, there's an accident as well. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, beautiful fall day today. Mostly sunny skies, highs in the mid-50s. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 44 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 88 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 65. In sports, the Bears are back in first place after a 24-10 home win over the New York Jets. Khalil Mack didn't play, but the defense was spectacular without him. Mitch Trubisky threw a couple of touchdown passes, one to Tariq Cohen, one to Anthony Miller. And Jordan Howard got the running game going in the second half, and he also added a touchdown in the win. Again, Bears are in first place as the Vikings lost on Sunday Night Football to the Saints 30-20. Packers and Lions also lost yesterday, putting the Bears in first at 4-3. Cardinals beat the 49ers 18-15. That's Arizona's second win of the season.
Maybe the worst game of the year.
It was probably the worst game of the year, yeah. NHL, Coyotes were off. Blackhawks were in action. They lost in overtime to Edmonton 2-1. NBA, Bulls were off. Suns lost to OKC 117-110. And as we touched on briefly earlier, the Red Sox are your 2018 World Series champions, their fourth World Series title in the last 15 seasons. They beat the Dodgers 5-1 yesterday, winning that series 4-1.
Chief. You know, watching the Bears game yesterday, I'm still a little concerned about Trubisky throwing anything beyond 10 yards.
The first half specifically, he was really inaccurate. And yeah. It's the second week in a row he's been really off, especially in the first half. Second half, I thought he was really good. He had a couple of good back shoulder throws, a couple of good throws on the run. He had the one big play that was taken back by the idiotic Kyle Long penalty, but then Kyle Long sadly left the game with an injury, as we touched on earlier as well. So hopefully he's okay. But I thought Mitch was a lot better in the second half. But yeah, first half, he's 2 weeks in a row, he's been really inaccurate, especially early in the game.
Yeah, and especially when it's beyond 10 yards.
Well, it was really windy yesterday. I mean, I think it was an issue.
Well, that might have been, but still, I mean, some of his throws were really, really off the mark. Maybe it was because of the wind, but I'm also worried about the defense because they didn't put a lot of pressure on the Jets quarterback. No sacks.
I think that's second week in a row with no sacks. Maybe third week in a row with no sacks.
Which
is crazy.
Yeah, considering how they started the year. So I mean, it's while they won, it was against the Jets, and you know, overall, I think there's still some concern there.
Well, you. Kyle Long played most of the game, but with him out now, you essentially between him and Mack, you got your two best players on offense and defense both out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how significant his injury is. I was afraid it might have been an ACL. I didn't know if it was an ankle or a knee issue when he was on the ground. He got rolled up on by another player, and hard to tell if that was an ankle or a knee. But it did not look good the way he was helped off the field and then put on a cart and taken to the locker room.
But they would have x-rays at the field that was broken, I think we'd know. So, but you can, sprains or tears can be just as bad. But
they can be worse.
Yep. But, we'll just hope. David, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
So,
you know, another thing about Trubisky, one is he doesn't slide when he runs, and he runs often to escape. And, you know, it's just an accident waiting to happen. But beyond that, it seems to me, and I'm no coach or expert like you folks, but If any defender just waves their hand in his face, I mean, doesn't even have to jump up or whatever, just puts a hand, you know, in front of him and waves it, every ball is high.
Well, yeah.
Every ball is high. Instead, it'll throw, and, you know, sooner or later, one's going to bounce into a defender's hands or off an offensive guy or whatever and be intercepted. Hey, you know what? Doesn't mean because their hands are in your face, you can't throw one into the ground.
The people who are shorter. He's good size.
He's 6'2", 6'3",
yeah.
Isn't he?
But, I mean, the people who are shorter, the Joe Theismann, Drew Brees gang, are so amazingly quick how they can see where the tall guy is without even knowing it.
They get rid of it, and it's into the ground where no one can intercept.
Or they immediately, their feet get them into the gap.
Yeah.
And even Aaron Rodgers does that, and he's a little bit bigger. All these guys have an instinct for that, and I think part of it is that his eyes are not always up. But I think he's getting better at that, don't you, Manny?
I do. A couple of points. One, he is 6'2", so he's not a tall quarterback, but he's not a short quarterback either. He's not in the Drew Brees 5'11 range, but he's not like the prototypical, you know, Tom Brady 6'5 either. I agree with David 100%. He does need to slide because he, and Deshaun Watson is guilty of this too, and I think a lot of young quarterbacks are. They think they're invincible because in college they could get away with that. The NFL, you're going to get killed if you don't slide.
You're going to get killed.
And he runs a lot, and he's a really good runner. And I think he's a terrific runner, actually. He reminds me of Russell Wilson with how quick he is, and he picks up third downs.
Well, he actually dodges guys, which
right. He makes guys miss. He's got good speed to get around the edge. He very rarely gets sacked. But you got to get down, man, because you can't keep taking hits like that. Otherwise, you're going to get hurt. I think it would be nice, and Romo pointed this out yesterday, if he wasn't so quick to put his head down and run, because I think when he gets outside of the pocket, he just tucks and runs. And I think he should maybe make that his last option and keep the eyes downfield and see if you can get a receiver open, because I think that's going to keep him healthier longer, and it's a potential bigger play.
And
he struggles with that.
And especially now when you know that's his tendency, that it'll cause the defense to come up and try to tackle him, leaving open receivers.
Yes, and they're already having to waste a defender to spy him now because he's such a good runner. So that's already one less guy that's in coverage right now that's just spying him. So he's got to get a little bit better at finding the open guy. I have seen improvement, I think, from him week to week, but his accuracy is the biggest concern, especially early in games. He overthrows guys. He overleads guys, and I don't know if that's he's scared to throw an interception. And
that plays into what I said. They're all high.
Yeah.
You never see him throw, if he's in trouble, throw one into the ground. Never.
Well, that was Mike Tomczak's biggest issue, is when he missed high. Because that leads to
interceptions.
Yeah, interceptions.
Usually. But Mitch, again, zero turnovers, two touchdowns. He also rushed for 50-plus yards. Not a great game accuracy-wise, but a very, very good game. It's his, 10th or 15th start, whatever it is. We're hoping that, by next year, he is fully in form. And he definitely has all the tools. He can run. He's got the strong arm. Now it's about getting accurate and putting it together.
Well, I thought, Romo, not only does he get the best looking girlfriends, but, I thought he was spectacular yesterday. I mean,
second year as a broadcaster.
But he was saying that the lowest 5% passers are like the five number one rookies that are starting.
I saw that.
And he goes, every single one of these guys is going to be good. It's just that hard your first year or two. So Trubisky's going to have a game where he steps forward and maybe a half a step back. He goes, but I think he's going to be real good.
He also pointed out that this was a new offensive scheme for Trubisky to pick up.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he's really set, even though it's his second year, he played half the year last year. This is his brand new offense, so he's really now seven games into it. Hopefully the second half we'll see quicker decisions, which I think will lead to more accurate throws. There's a lot of positives with him, and there's a lot of negatives. Mm-hmm. And
hit the nail on the head, Matty, where sometimes, I've seen guys point it out, usually on the replay, that his third read, what would be his third read, if he just made it before he ran, was like wide open, probably six times, like touchdown wide open. And he reads the first two, and he sees an opening, and he goes.
And then he runs. Like I said, he's really good at that, and I don't necessarily want him to stop running. But he's going to stay healthier in the long term by making the throw to the third read, as opposed to always running and always taking that hit or the opportunity to pull something or whatever. I mean, you just don't want your quarterback running on every play.
But, my buddy Coach used to stand in front of him in the OEX pit. They called him Coach was an offensive lineman in Illinois. Big, big, strong guy. And imagine that. And he ended up being offensive coordinator at Purdue. He didn't get the head coaching job, so he came to be a trader. I could tell stories for a week about his trading ability, but he was the combination of one of the best traders I've ever seen, and with his absolute own worst enemy in any one person. It was the same guy. He had both ends of the spectrum in the same person. Anyway, so I said to him one day, I said, Coach, what's the deal with this college ball? It seems to me like these quarterbacks. And he goes, Tommy, here's the deal. There's only virtually every college you've got one read. That's it. They show you the guy to throw it to, you watch him, and you throw it to him. It doesn't matter if he's got 15 people on him, you throw it to him. Because some colleges, like Notre Dame, might have two reads. Because the only one where it's three reads, it used to be at Purdue when all those guys came out of there. Didn't Drew Brees come out of there?
He did. Orton came out of there, Greasy, obviously.
Yeah. He goes, or BYU were the only places, and they were the cradle of quarterbacks. Those are the only guys that expected a college guy to have three reads. He goes, yeah, so you're gonna watch a Notre Dame game, and you're going to see the tight end waving both hands in the middle of the field at anybody 30 yards from him, and they're going to throw in a double coverage on the side, and you're going to wonder why. Because nobody expects a college kid to have a second read or third read. He goes, and that's why, if you do, you got something special. But you have to teach that. And he goes, most guys don't. And he goes, but it's a real deal to teach somebody that at age 19. And when all that stuff's happening that fast. So it doesn't surprise me that it takes a guy in the pros a while. Why shouldn't it? I mean, suppose pros is even faster, for God's sake. I mean, can you imagine you see how quickly that kind of the middle linebacker closed on that guy in the flat yesterday? In that one play?
I think Roquan Smith is special. I think he reminds me of Briggs when he was his first year. Just sideline to sideline speed, good coverage ability, great tackler, a natural leader. I just think he's really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, the kid from Notre Dame, whose knee is finally healed at Dallas, he's the same way.
Yeah, that kid's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, it's, you know, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of positives to some of the football. How do the Bears? I mean, you know, as much as I bitch at them, how did they manage to get all these receivers in 1 year that are all pretty darn good? And you look at the guys on the Jets yesterday; those guys couldn't get open against me. I mean, how did the Bears sign like four of them and the Jets none? I mean, the Jets had nobody. I mean, Romo kept saying on the replay, look at this guy. Well, he's covered. That guy's covered. Because there was nobody to throw to. No wonder this guy can't throw the ball. There's nobody to throw to. I mean, the Jets have nobody.
Yeah, but look at the last couple of years when the Bears had nobody either.
Well, but I'm saying, how did they sign? How many guys did they sign, Manny? Like three or four, and they're all good. Did they just have that much salary cap space or what?
Yeah.
Well, the tight end is real good. Where'd they get him?
Philadelphia.
Trey Burton.
And then, but I mean, the other guys, I mean, White.
They basically, Kevin White was a first-round pick. Anthony Miller was a draft pick. Bellamy was a draft pick. And then Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel were the two big free agent signings.
Yeah.
And then Burton was the tight end that they signed. Shaheen was the other tight end that they drafted. He's been hurt, but I think they like him too. So, and then Howard was a pick and Cohen was a pick.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've drafted relatively well in, although
Howard was a tremendous pick at Indiana. Who would take a back at Indiana?
Yeah. And, but, you know, Kevin White has been somewhat of a flop, or actually he's been a complete flop so far.
Well, but he,
For a first round pick, he's played in like six games. Mm-hmm. he hasn't done anything. But Gabriel and Robinson signings appear to be really good, and same with Burton. So, you know, Mitch has some weapons, not elite weapons, but they're really utilizing Cohen, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, much better than the options were the last few years.
Yeah.
But if you've got people worried about Cohen, all of a sudden your double teams go down and all of a sudden everybody else is better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and you add that to Maddie's point before that when you've got a possibility of a quarterback running the ball, you take another defender out of the play because they're spying on him. So it opens up something else for the passing attack.
Well, it's a team game. There's no, all right, David, how the hell did IBM decide to pay up 60% for Red Hat? What's that all about? And does that mean every stock is 60% worth more than it's out there, or like the market seems to think this morning, or what?
I heard a few details. I mean, Red Hat's been, you know, open source and Linux and whatever, a big, big player in the cloud. IBM has some. I mean, my son-in-law works in, you know, cloud sales for IBM, but they haven't been a big player, and they've struggled. They've had to align with Workday and the like to merchandise, you know, cloud processes and solutions for companies, and Red Hat really fits right in. I'm not, you know, it was a high multiple, but high growth issue. But it seems to me, I mean, I'm sure they'll probably hurt the stock early, but I think it gives IBM a chance in cloud space where they were definitely third rate. They were way, way down to the others. So I think for the long term, it gives them a chance. Did they pay up too much? Probably, but if they didn't, somebody else probably would.
Why, if people think the market is a solid pricing mechanism, should somebody ever have to pay up 60% for a place? I mean, what are they?
Well, 60% is, you know, insane. But, you know, 15, even 20 is very typical.
Right.
And don't forget, this you know, this was $177 stock not that long ago. It, like everything else with high multiple and growth, took serious beating, like, you know, almost 35%.
You're saying, well, just because of
I'm not saying it's right.
I'm just, well, I don't know.
And it doesn't matter where it's been. It's where it is and where it's going. But, yeah, I mean, I think that a reasonable price given market conditions and everything else, and, you know, some not slowing in cloud, but slowing of growth rates, you know, could 140, 145 have been, you know, had in a decent, you know, premium? Yeah, evidently they couldn't get it done. I mean, maybe there was another bidder out there that was, you know, there but somewhat silent, and they had to do it. I'm not backing it up. It seems like a huge premium.
Well, you do get the, you know, if there's any kind of a fit, then there obviously is always worth a little bit of a premium. But
they say that it's accretive now in everything, not just sales and profit and whatever, but in margins too. So, you know, I don't know the balance sheet. I don't know the fundamentals to justify it or not. me, it seems very rich, but maybe that's what they had to pay or they couldn't get it.
I just wish I had some Red Hat.
Yeah.
You got any for your guys? I don't have any for my guys.
I'm a little, very small.
Oh, all right. Well, it's a
very, very small.
When you mentioned the stock was 177 a while ago, it was my big question yesterday. It was at a Halloween party. Chief, what do you think of the market? Are these stocks going back to where they were? And I said, well, tell me if where they were was the right price or not with interest rates moving up. Good point.
How do you know? It was a 77 multiple, even with a forward PE of 33.5. You know, 33.5 is double market multiple, and that probably was justified. So when, you know, it's 77, no. And now with the premium, it's going to be more. So I think it's a rich, rich buyout. Will it work out? We'll see, probably in 2-3 years.
I'm dying to find the person who was 60% overbid that you had to do 63.
Right. Sometimes, well, I mean, that was said, you know, with Comcast and Sky and Disney for some of the Fox stuff. I mean, those were dormant, you know, issues for many years, and all of a sudden they were bidding against each other, couldn't bid high enough to get.
Well, I think there's, I don't know that much about what Red Hat does vis-a-vis other people and the competitors, but in the information or in the entertainment space, every one of those things just means you're going from an oligopoly to a duopoly to a monopoly. I mean,
provides, to the best of my knowledge, and I'm not a cloud expert, nor am I an open source, you know, software expert, but it certainly, I mean, again, it's anecdotal, it doesn't really mean anything, but my son-in-law, he has very limited resources, you know, through IBM trying to sell their services to institutions, educational folks, hospitals, etc. This gives him a big alternative to incorporate with the other software to get a sale done. So again, that's not. It opens a door. It provides another outlet, another choice, and to the extent that it integrates well, you know, it will be a long-term benefit. Is the price too high? I would say at least today, tomorrow, next week, next year, yes.
Let me ask you this. I mean, without giving away the store, I assume your son, if he's like your daughter, is pretty darn bright. But I have to believe this has got to be. Somebody's got to be scrambling to put him in, you know, classes for 3 weeks to let him know what these guys do, or does he already know all that stuff? I mean,
I really don't know the answer to that. I would say he probably doesn't know everything about it, but he probably knows a good amount because it was a tool that Red Hat's open source architecture. It was there. He had to know enough about it to compete against it, but it wasn't in his arsenal to sell. I would presume he probably knows a fair, you know, if there's 100% of knowledge, he probably knows 60 and enough to try and compete, but now he's going to have to really bone up to make it a part of his sales arsenal.
Yeah, I would have to believe there'd have to be a very serious scramble starting this morning of getting all the IBM people together and saying, okay, this is how they integrate, and this is how the Red Hat guy gets to sell some IBM stuff while he's there, and the IBM guy, I mean, that's got to be a big project.
Well, another thing that does concern me in the conference talks this morning, they said, you know, the management pretty much and the teams are going to stay, you know, together and somewhat separate from IBM, and it's going to be offered as a choice. I'm surprised if you're going to pay this kind of premium, you wouldn't integrate the open source architecture, you know, into an IBM Red Hat product and say, hey, this is what we're selling and look at all the benefits. Doesn't seem like that's there yet.
Well, have you ever, the guys used to work for me, this is so long ago, David, but used to work for IBM, has there ever been a company that really thought their way was the best way in terms of what color shirt you had to wear? And I mean, I can't imagine those guys being the easiest to say, hey, come on in, you guys. You're all part of the team, even though you were in ripped blue jeans and wearing a suit. I mean, it's a...
You're right. I would imagine, just from perception, that it's two totally different cultures.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking, too. Wow. I mean, open source versus IBM? Give me a break. Hey, I know you're not a big Fibonacci dude.
At all.
But this is, we're looking right now at about a two-thirds of Friday, right? Isn't that the Fibonacci number?
Yeah, but that's just retracement for a day.
Okay, but I'm saying, but now...
You have to look at the whole move.
But now it's a, you know, it's a bleeper get off the pot number here. You know, we're down 40, now we're up 26 in the S&P.
If you want a key number, I think December Russell 2000, just keep an eye on it, not suggesting trading. But 1509 is the high of the last, including today, the last 3 days. And you can make a pretty good technical case if you close, not just intraday, close above 1509. It's at least a temporary bottom for a move to 1535. And above 1535, I think the bottom's in. If you fail at 1509 or at 1535, it can easily be right back to the lows.
Kenny Pulcar last week had 2710. We only got 30 seconds there. 2710 is a big number in the S&P. Now we've been below that for a few days. Does that mean that's still a number or that number changes?
It's still a number.
Okay.
10 and 2731 after that.
All right. Thanks, buddy. S&P futures up 26. Dow futures up 144. NASDAQ futures up 83. Big morning so far to the upside. We'll see if it holds. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.